The Haines Assembly meeting this week moves to a larger venue, and the ferry system makes some more changes in the name of saving money. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. The Haynesboro Assembly meets Tuesday. Whether it turns out to be as epic of a meeting as the last one that went for 8.5 hours over 2 nights will remain to be seen. But the meeting is taking place at the Chilcat Center Tuesday to better accommodate an anticipated large crowd. Last meeting saw the assembly chambers packed with people having to stand in the foyer of the Public Administration Building for the first evening of the meeting because of agenda items having to do with heliskiing. One was whether to allow a conditional use permit for a private heliport on Chilcat Lake Road. The other was whether to open more lands to heliskiing this season in order for the companies to host a special photo and cinematography contest. The matter of the heliport permit was resolved at the meeting, with the assembly voting to approve it. The access to more lands for the special event was also decided in a close vote, with Mayor Stephanie Scott voting against it to break the tie. But the next day, Assemblymember Dave Barry called for a reconsideration of the vote. That's what the group will take up this Tuesday, and that's what's calling for a change in venue for the meeting. Also on the agenda is an ordinance that would allow the borough to consider contracting with borough employees or officers more than they already do. Currently, employees can contract with the borough for additional or other kinds of work than that they already do, and those contracts cannot exceed $500. If the Assembly adopts this ordinance, there would be no limit on those contracts, but Assembly approval would be needed in each case. And there's items on the agenda about a harbor dump truck, trail maintenance, the borough manager's purchasing power, state legislation, and reciprocal fishing licenses. A complete agenda and meeting packet is available on the borough website. The Haines Assembly meets at 6:30 p.m. Tuesday, and don't forget, this week it's at the Chilcat Center. Immediately before the Assembly meeting at 5 p.m. and also at the Chilcat Center, the Assembly will be meeting as a committee to discuss an ordinance about election reform. The Skagway Assembly last week decided to bring a finalist for the manager position to town for an in-person interview. After interviewing two finalists by Skype last week, the Assembly decided after an executive session to continue the process with Scott Hahn. No date has been set yet for his visit. Hahn currently lives in Colorado, but previously worked as manager for Cordova and Petersburg. He left his job in Petersburg in 2011 after a year and a half on the job. He said he wanted to move back to Colorado for family reasons. He has a master's degree in public administration from the University of Colorado. And the Haines School District has a development in its recruitment process for a new superintendent. One of the school board's two finalists has taken another job, leaving just one finalist in the running for the position as of right now. Jay Thomas, the assistant superintendent and curriculum director of Bering Strait School District, notified the Haines School District over the weekend that he took a job as superintendent of the Wrangell School District. He had also been a finalist for the job at Petersburg Schools. Several superintendent jobs opened this year at Southeast Alaska School Districts. Haines School Board President Anne-Marie Palmieri said the board was working on an accelerated hiring process because it knew it was competing with several other districts for candidates. Of 16 applications received, the school board had narrowed it down to two finalists, Thomas and Ted Van Bronckhorst, who also currently works for the Bering Strait School District as Director of Human Resources. Thomas and Van Bronckhorst were scheduled to visit Haines at the end of this week. The school board planned to interview both candidates at a Saturday meeting and deliberate immediately afterward about a choice for superintendent. Palmieri said the school board is planning a workshop session for Tuesday evening to discuss the process now that Thomas has withdrawn. And a little news out of Canada, Yukon Premier Darryl Pazlowski is getting ready to announce Tuesday that his budget includes tax cuts for business and record spending on roads and infrastructure. Pazlowski delivers his budget speech Tuesday afternoon in the Yukon legislature. According to the CBC in Whitehorse, he revealed some highlights of his budget Friday at a Yukon Chamber of Commerce meeting, saying the 2014-15 budget will include the largest capital investment in Yukon's history. CBC reported the crowd of business leaders, including mining executives and renewable energy consultants, were cautiously optimistic about the details. Visit cbc.ca for more information about the Yukon budget once it's revealed Tuesday. And the schedule is out for next fall and winter's ferry sailings. The Alaska Marine Highway wants the public's comments. A draft schedule for October of 2014 through April of 2015 is now available online. A teleconference public hearing will be on April 8th. The schedule lists some changes, many due to off-season layups and repairs. For example, the LeConte will get a new bow thruster next winter. It's been breaking down and delaying sailings. General Manager John Falvey says the thrust controls the side-to-side movements of the forward hull.
It's old. It's 20, 25 years old. And this next federal project this winter, we're going to completely replace that bow thruster, and we hope that those problems will come to an end.
The Aurora, the LeConte sister ship, will sail in its place. It's usually in Prince William Sound. The Kennecott and the Chenega will also be in for repairs next winter. All 11 Marine Highway vessels will also undergo overhauls. While changes may be made, the schedule will only be posted online. Falvey says the printed brochures used for decades were expensive and sometimes wrong.
Our system is so complex. That book, in many cases, a brochure would be outdated before it was printed, you know, because of changes, because this changes, that changes. So the information you get online is up to the minute.
The April 8th scheduled teleconference will take Southeast testimony starting at 10 a.m. Comments from those in South Central or Southwest will follow at 1 p.m. More details are posted on the Alaska Marine Highway website. And in other ferry news, the Marine Highway officials are also trying to save money by closing gift shops on board state ferries. Transportation Deputy Commissioner Ruben Yost says the shutdown will save about $1 million a year.
The gift shops are nice, but it's not part of our core mission of moving people and vehicles from one point to another, and it's over time has become increasingly expensive.
Yost discussed the change recently at the state's Marine Transportation Advisory Board. Five larger mainline ferries have full shops. The two small fast ferries have limited gift items in their food service areas. Yost says a few necessities will remain on sale.
We will address the need for toiletries and other commodities that people may have forgotten to bring on the vessel by selling them out of the cafeteria.
Those items will eventually be sold from vending machines. Ferry hats, t-shirts, and similar branded products will be available online. Yost says the shops will be phased out over the summer as inventory is sold.
That does involve 10 positions on the Marine Highway system, but the cashiers working in the gift shop have seniority, so ultimately what it'll work out to be is that rather than 10 people lose their jobs, there will be 10 less new people hired this summer.
There's no immediate plan for how the shop rooms will be used. Yost says labor contracts prohibit leasing the space to private businesses. Two Southeast Alaska mines could get close to $300 million in state support under a bill moving through the legislature. Senate Bill 99 authorizes the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority to issue bonds for the projects. It moved out of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee last week and awaits scheduling on the chamber floor. One mine is the Niblack Gold, Silver, and Copper and Zinc Prospect. The other is the Boken-Dotson Ridge Rare Earth Element Mine. Both are on Prince of Wales Island, south of Ketchikan. Ken Collison is Chief Operating Officer for Ucore Rare Metals, Brocan's developer. At an earlier hearing, he told the committee rare earth metals are needed for strong batteries and high-tech devices.
For things like electric cars, hybrid cars, it's critical because you have much smaller components, much lighter components. Same thing with the military tech. It goes into aviation engines, all that kind of thing.
The metals are in short supply and federal officials are encouraging mine development. The bill authorizes the authority to raise up to $145 million for Boken through bonds. Another $125 million could go toward the Niblack mine and its ore processing facility near Ketchikan. Collison said the mines need state support.
The financial markets are such right now for the mining industry, it's very tough. And this is going to show huge support from the state of Alaska. It's going to make the financial markets and the rest of the mining community realize that the state is open for business. And this would be a big help for us in helping develop this project.
Critics say the shortage of private financing means the mines are not viable projects. The funds were added to a larger bill making changes to an energy fund that's also managed by the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority. Anchorage Senator Lisa McGuire sponsored the measure. She supported amendments drafted by Sitka Senator Bert Stedman adding the Southeast Mines. The bill must pass a full Senate as well as the House before being sent to the governor. The Clekwan Chilkats defended their championship again against Cake in the 68th annual Gold Medal Masters game over the weekend. Clekwan and Cake in recent years have jostled for the championship, and this year the Chilkats topped Cake 67-59. The team was led by Jeff Charmbroy's 24 points. He was also named tournament MVP. Other top scorers for the Chilkats included Guy Tompkins with 14, Joe Parnell with 12, Frank Coronel with 8, Chris Wassman with 5, and Don Nash at 4. Parnell and Wassman took all tournament honors for the Chilkats. Clekwan now has 5 gold medal titles, although Cake is still a tournament legend with 17 titles. Also in the B bracket, Tyler Healy was an all-tournament for the Merchants, and Will Egoff won the Sportsmanship Award. They went 1-2 in the tournament. Clekwan Chilkats in the C bracket went 0-2. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Ed Schoenfeld for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.